some special guests in the studio. We've got four of the lovely ladies from the Medina Ensemble. Morena.
Morena, Rosita.
How are you?
Yeah, we're pretty good, even though it's quite early and it was a bit rainy, but yeah, we're feeling strong.
Yay. Oh,
excellent.
We are so excited to have you up here. We've got Jackie, Petra, Abby and Caitlin from the Bulgarian Choir. There's so much to talk about because you've done some really, really cool stuff and lots of people might not know about you guys, but you went to Bulgaria last year. You've been performing quite a lot, but tell me a little bit about that trip and what it was like to visit Bulgaria and connect with that music, where it's from.
Yep. Well, we went last year, but first of all, I should say that our director, Tui Mamaki, is an absolute sort of lifelong lover of Bulgarian music. She herself lived in Bulgaria, studied there, learnt the language. She went through a sort of a serious music academy, and she came back to New Zealand with sort of the mission to kind of like, can I do it here? And over the years, she's kind of gathered us group around her. We've all got obsessed with the music. So we'd been learning, some of us, for several years, you know, different times, and last year the opportunity came to go to Bulgaria, and so it was very crazy to sort of go to the place where all of this incredible music comes from, which obviously we've heard recordings of, we've learnt the songs, and but to actually set foot in that place, it was quite incredible.
I'm curious as to whether a lot of you have Bulgarian whakapapa or connections to this place, or some of you just sort of appreciators of the music.
We're actually all of us just appreciators of the music.
That's beautiful.
None of us has the whakapapa, but as I said, our director Tui, she takes great care to, every song that we learn, she takes great care to find out who the song belongs to. She researches all the different versions. More often than not, she's in contact with the people that hold the song, because some of these songs that we sing are, no one knows how old they are, 1,000 years old.
Wow.
And they only exist in these tiny villages, which is actually like the song we're going to sing today. So these are songs that are passed from a grandmother to a granddaughter to a granddaughter to a granddaughter to a granddaughter. No one remembers who made them up. And they're really important. They have a song for every sort of different aspect of life. And that was one of the best things about going to Bulgaria, was to actually sit with these families, these women, because it's women's music, and feel the place and the people. And it was really beautiful. The song we're going to sing later is from Nedelino, which is in the Rodopi Mountains. And that's a town, a little village, that used to have 10,000 people living in it and a sort of a thriving tobacco industry and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Now I think that they're down to 3,000 people. Because a lot of people have moved away, and the women who gave us this song told us that they have to find ways to keep the songs alive. So we feel that very strongly now, that we're helping to keep it, you know, in our own way. Like, obviously we're never going to be those people, but you know, the idea that we're singing these songs so far away from the home is actually quite moving to a lot of people that we spoke to.
Yeah, for sure. That's so special. And I feel like that really encapsulates the whole sort of shtick with folk music, eh? Is like telling these stories and keeping them alive and honouring where they've come from and how far they've come, which kind of brings us to Auckland Folk Festival. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening this weekend. You guys are performing and bringing some of the knowledge, the mātauranga of Bulgarian folk music. There's like a workshop that you're involved with in some way or another, is that right?
Yes, we're going to be performing at 1:30 in the hall on Sunday.
Gorgeous.
We're going to do a few songs, and then Tui is going to lead a workshop when everyone is welcome to join in. Millie is quite excited about this.
I heard
earlier.
Really excited.
I
want to
see you
this.
There, Millie.
Yep.
And basically the workshop is called Howling Wolves Ringing Bells, and which is refers to this thing that Tui's going to be doing the workshop about. But I'm going to ask Caitlin to explain it, because she's good at explaining it.
All right. So, interferential diaphony.
Yeah.
You'll see that in the kind of subheading for the workshop. It's a term that was coined by Florian Messner, who is an ethnomusicologist who spent a lot of time in Bulgaria. So I'm going to break that down. It's not as daunting as it sounds. Diaphony just refers to how a lot of the Bulgarian folk tradition is diaphonic, so it's written for two voices, and it's usually like oriented around a drone and then a melody that comes into tension and then releases away from the drone. Just take a breath. I'm getting overexcited.
It's exciting stuff.
This is exciting stuff. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
That sounds really beautiful. I didn't know it was kind of structured like that.
Yeah, so that's the kind of diaphony part, and then the interferential part refers to how when, you know, sound is a wave with peaks and valleys, when you have two frequencies that are quite close together, the peaks and valleys align and you get constructive interference that amplifies the sound. And when they're opposed and the like phase relationship is out, they kind of cancel each other out. So you get this like beating phenomena where the sound goes whoop, 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 whoop.
Oh my God. Hopefully. Yeah.
Like a cappella dubstep.
Yeah. It's like a built-in... what do they call
sub.
It?
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so everyone should come out and try that workshop, which is free and available.
You can whoop whoop for yourself.
Yes. So cool. Folk Fest is happening over this weekend at the QMU showgrounds. Everyone head along. You can find more info from their website, aucklandfolkfest.co.nz. Give me a little rundown on what else you guys have planned for this year, because I know there's a couple of fundraisers and stuff that you're involved with as well.
We have got the next thing sort of on our horizon after the Folk Fest is that we will be back at the Alan Melville Centre in June. I don't think there's a date yet, but we're kind of booked in, and we're going to be, it's going to be called, I think, something like Full Circle. And basically we're going to be performing a lot of songs that we learnt in Bulgaria. While we were there, we met with a lot of different women who taught us songs, and we've brought them back to New Zealand, and we are working on them here to sort of, you know, fold them into our repertoire. So we're going to be doing that in June, which will be cool. I think past that, I think we just have to work out how to get back to Bulgaria, which is an amazing country, beautiful people, good cheese, unprocessed food, just unspoilt landscape. It's just the most beautiful country. It's really gorgeous.
It sounds divine. We were having a little chat off air about kind of the magic of the folk festival in Auckland, and how it's just so beautiful to see all these musicians come together. So we're really excited. Listeners, go get your tickets. You're not going to regret it. Yeah.
We have a song.
We do have a song.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
This song we learnt last year in Bulgaria. We went to the Rodopi Mountains, which is in the southeast corner, southwest, sorry, the bottom left hand, if you're looking at a map of Bulgaria. And the mountains are close, steep, dark pines. And we were on a bus, we got off the bus, and we just in this kind of forest clearing, and there was this huge feast laid out for us, and this incredible family called the Hajiv family. And we met Lydia Hajiva, who is possibly listening today in Bulgaria. So exciting.
Wow.
We had three generations of that family, actually four, because there was also a great-grandmother who'd helped make the food. And they fed us and they taught us this song. And it's a good one. It's from Nedelino, their village, which is famous for the dvoglas, two-voice singing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a sad song, I suppose, would you say, girls?
Yeah. Pretty sad.
A young girl, she's walking around her yards or the place where she has grown up because she's getting married, and it's the last time she's ever going to see her whenua, her whānau, you know, that's what it's about.
Devastating.
Wow. Devastating. Okay, we're just going to arrange ourselves here a little bit.
All good.
Yeah, postida, stane.
Beautiful. Tinua tahua. Oh my gosh. I actually have thought of a couple more questions since hearing the song, because first of all, having all of those harmony parts with no instrumental accompaniment is really hard. I'm interested as to what the process of learning the song looks like when you learn from these other women in Bulgaria. Is it a cappella from the very beginning?
Yep.
Wow.
Straight a cappella. And actually in Bulgaria with that song, I had a magical experience of the young gal of the family, Boriana, to teach me. You people who are listening can't hear, but basically she came up to me and she put her hand on my shoulder, and our faces were only a few sort of centimetres apart, and she sang it to me. And I think that's the best way to transmit it.
Mm.
Here in New Zealand, our beloved Tui, the director, she sings it to us, we sing it back,
mm-hmm.
and we go backwards and forwards like that. Eventually we get music and words and things like that, but we learn it from listening and from singing it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like, we've had some great texts coming through. People say, covered in goosebumps.
Oh, yes.
Someone covered in goddess bumps.
Ooh.
Actually, I love that, and so true. It's so fascinating. It's like, I wonder, people that grow up in Bulgaria singing this music, whether there's any sort of formal musical training, or if it's just you're exposed to so much of it from a young age that your ear gets really good.
Well, I think there's both. Because there's all different types of music.
Yeah.
There's the very fancy, highfalutin, learnt in an academy,
yeah,
classical, incredible stuff, very complicated arrangements.
Mm.
There's a sort of a jolly sort of festival kind of songs, which are really beautiful. Then there's a song like this one we just sang, which is what Tui calls the wasabi, or like the rural treasures.
Mm.
They are songs that, as I said before, passed through a family. And we heard from the old lady, grandma, Dina Kuleva told us that basically children grow up listening to their mothers, their aunties, their sisters and their grandmas singing, and so even things like where to take a breath, they know that right from when they're small. So by the time they actually end up singing, that is all built in, which is why it's so hard for us here to learn it.
Oh,
so we're here.
Well, you make it look easy. That was so magical. Thank you so much for coming up.
Thank you so much for having us, you guys.
Of course. Everyone, head along to the Auckland Folk Festival this weekend. It's going to be really, really special.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We're going to listen to Royal Wet Bags with Supermarket Woman here on BFM.